You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Our feet may have been planted firmly on Earth this week, but our minds have traveled to the far reaches of the universe. This epic journey was made possible by NASA's James Webb Space Telescope, which released its first images of deep space, and the pictures are nothing short of breathtaking. Cosmic cliffs and valleys of gases sprinkled with shimmering stars, a gathering of galaxies caught in a delicate dance, with thousands more in the vast darkness of space. And the most captivating and clearest image so far of the 14 billion year old universe in its infancy. The images were hailed as a triumph by scientists around the world, and some of the most excited scientists could be found at universities and campuses in the Central Valley. Astrophysicist Guillermo Baro from the University of the Pacific immediately downloaded the photos when they were published and instantly saw Webb's potential to unlock more cosmic mysteries. Physicist Anna Nierenberg and her team at UC Merced have been granted highly coveted time with Webb and devised a plan to use the most powerful telescope ever launched into space. Guillermo and Anna join us now. Good morning. Welcome to Insight.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, I have to say, throughout even just like the newsroom, not only the world, everyone here from like producers to our audio engineers are just pumped to talk about this. I'm curious, what conversations have been taking place? What has the energy been like on both of your campuses this week? Guillermo?
Yeah, so as I was saying yesterday, so our team doesn't have any grad students, so it's mostly undergrads who are on summer vacation. So what I'm doing is I'm mostly connected with my collaborators all around the world in Europe, Japan, and we're all like communicating constantly and waiting for the new data to download and start working on it. So it's like, yeah, the astronomical community has been buzzing with activity right after the release of the images. We just can't wait to get our hands on them and start doing science.
Yeah, I can imagine. Anna, what's the energy been like at UC Merced?
Yeah, it's just beyond belief, honestly. I don't think I really believed everything would work. And seeing astrophysics transformed by this new capability it's hard to even describe. Like, my brain can't really, I don't know, I'm not a poet. It's just, it doesn't work almost when I try and think about how cool it is.
Yeah, it is really hard to put into words. And surreal, when you look at these images, surreal is an understatement. I would imagine, given this is your wheelhouse, this is your passion, was it emotional to take in these images, Anna?
Very much so. Just that we're so privileged to be at a time where we effectively get to put on new glasses, see the universe, and we're going to see weird things that we don't understand. And it's such a privilege.
Guillermo, I would imagine it was emotional for you and your wife, who's an astrophysicist as well, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So we were both like sitting on our sofa in the morning, like watching NASA TV and like streaming and looking at the images. And then after the press release, we just both ran to our computers and download the images and started looking at it. Oh, look at this, look at that. And it's just, yeah, it was such a fun day.
Yeah. Do either of you, now that you've had, you know, some time to look at them, do you have an image that's your favorite so far, Guillermo?
Well, so funnily enough, yesterday or the day before they released the early release objects, those like press releases from NASA. But starting today, like literally today, I'm just looking at the Slack channel of astronomers like waiting to click download. They're going to release our first images from the science program. So we are all really just waiting right now to get our first images. And those are definitely going to be our favorite. They're going to keep us busy for weeks and hoping to release the process data to the community.
Yeah, I can imagine. Anna, it's just like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm just looking at the nebula pictures where we can see all these valleys that you were describing in the gas and the dust. You just know we're going to just understand things in just a whole new way. All of our understanding of physics, of how these things work, is going to be transformed. You just know it.
Yeah, this has been years in the making and billions of dollars. Anna, you touched upon this. I mean, the scale of this telescope and the challenges it faced in reaching this point were truly immense. There were points where you maybe thought it was impossible. I mean, you kind of touched upon that. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, when I was in grad school, the budgetary committee proposed canceling it. And you just see, I don't know, I was young, but you see this whole future you'd kind of imagined for yourself in your career being just wiped away, and the future, your understanding of how science would progress. And I wrote some letters to Congress. I don't think it did anything, but I don't know. I was, the fact that it pulled through, and now hopefully we can say to everybody, you know, thank you for supporting this in the end, even though it was hard.
Yeah.
We think it's going to be really worth it.
Guillermo, were there moments of doubt for you as well?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You want to be optimistic, but delay after delay after delay, you start to like, you don't want to think about it, but you think maybe this is not going to get through. And eventually, like, some politician is going to get into the problem and this is going to get canceled. So the moment that you get this, and after so long waiting for it, then all of a sudden it happens very quickly. It's in the telescope, it's in the launch platform, it's in the space, it's unfolding, it's taking data, and the data is here you are. This is the data. And it happens so quickly after the launch that now it's hard to believe after waiting for so long that the final stages went through so quickly and so flawlessly. I can still not believe it.
Yeah, it's overwhelming in the very best way. You know, Guillermo, the image is obviously visually stunning, but can you tell us more about what you and other astrophysicists can now see in these pictures that you couldn't before?
Yeah, so I was looking at some of the press release images the other day, and if you haven't, I strongly recommend everyone in the audience, if they can, to get a computer and download the high resolution, like 100 megabyte images, and just zoom in, because the most amazing thing is that you can scroll and scroll and scroll, and it feels like you can just jump into the nebula, and it's so different from just looking at the image on TV that it's just gorgeous. So the post-processing team in the Space Telescope, this did an amazing work of popping up the colors, and it looks so beautiful. But the fact that you can download and scroll, and you get to the point where you can see the individual stars, and we were talking about one of the images of the quintet of galaxies, where one of the galaxies is actually in the foreground, it's not really next to the other ones. And you can see that when you start scrolling, because the foreground galaxy is actually closer to us, and you can see the individual stars, you can start counting like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it's just mind blowing that you get to see that and download the images from the telescope.
Yeah, we were reading on NASA that the galaxy cluster Webb's first deep field, it's like taking a photograph of a speck of sand held at arm's length, but from billions of years ago. That's just so difficult to even wrap your head around, but it also like evokes so much kind of emotion and excitement, Guillermo.
Yes. And not only that, I think someone said during the press release that now every image with James Webb is a deep field. And it really compares to Hubble, which has been doing an amazing work, and hopefully it's going to continue to work in parallel with Webb for some years. It took days and months of exposing or taking a picture of the same region, tiny region of the sky, and stacking, stitching all the images together to get it really, really deep. And for Webb, it was not instantly, but it was like a few hours, 10 hours, perhaps 12, to get that amazingly deep image. And that just suggests what Webb is going to be capable of. This is just the starting of the journey, and every image that we're going to take with Webb and led by all of the fantastic scientists that we have, it's going to be mind-blowing.
Anna, how is this different from the pioneering Hubble telescope?
So the big differences are the mirror is much bigger. And what that means effectively is that we have clearer vision with it. So it'd be like if you fixed your glasses and you could see things more sharply. So that lets us see tiny point sources that maybe were too close together to see apart with Hubble. The other big difference is that we can see into the infrared. So we can see into light wavelengths that we couldn't see with Hubble. And we can see it with this really good vision, this we call it spatial resolution, that wasn't possible before.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with astrophysicist Guillermo Barro at University of the Pacific and physicist Anna Nierenberg at UC Merced about NASA's James Webb Space Telescope. Guillermo, you're part of a team of scientists handpicked to study these images. That is pretty cool. I mean, you're helping to determine the age of the galaxies that are billions of light years away. Can you tell us more about your research and how you're really able to determine the age of an ancient galaxy when the distance is seemingly incomprehensible to grasp?
Yeah, it is. So first of all, yeah, I was fortunate to be part of a large team of a collaboration that got time with Web to do one of these early release science proposals that kind of works like a Swiss knife of observations that rather than trying to tackle a very specific problem and going very deep, the goal of our project was to try all of the different instruments aboard the telescope, which are a lot. Because the web is going to do a lot of very different science. So it's not just one camera, it's got multiple cameras, as we were discussing before, where you can observe the near infrared, the mid infrared, you can take spectra of the objects. So our proposal was to do a little bit of everything, but targeting galaxies in sort of like a deep field like the one that was released. And we are trying different images with different filters, different colors, spectra of the individual objects. And we have to process everything and release it to the community so that we can do science, but more than anything, the community can start doing science because Webb is such a new telescope that everyone has an idea of how they can use it to do their science, but they don't really know how it works. So the goal of this proposal was to get the data as soon as possible, and as I was saying, we're ready to download and release it to the community so that the community get a taste of what kind of capabilities every instrument has, so that they can tune it for their specific proposals to do their science. And for us, I'm specifically looking forward to just study, try to decipher and get the age of these galaxies, mostly from the color. So, in a nutshell, if you take one of these images of the deep field, so to speak, the blue galaxies tend to be closer than the red galaxies, and this is due to the redshift and the expansion of the universe. And of course, we have to go deeper into the details to figure the exact age of the galaxies. But immediately, you will see me looking at this deep field and looking for the red dots because those are going to be the faintest, deepest, and more further away galaxies that we can find in the image.
Yeah, I mean, this is really just the beginning for you. And Anna, you and your team have been granted observational time with this brand new telescope to study dark matter. So, to the best of your ability, can you describe what dark matter is and why it's been so elusive for scientists?
I would love to. So, what happens is every particle we know about exerts a gravitational pull on other particles. So, for instance, that's what keeps us stuck to the Earth, is that gravitational pull. And we can look at that gravitational pull on really big scales, like our galaxy, which is made up of many, many stars. We can look at the gravitational pull on those stars, and we can see how fast they're going around in our galaxy. And from that, we can estimate how many particles there are creating the gravitational pull. And what we see is that there's way more gravitational pull or gravitational force than we can explain with known particles. So we can just look at how many stars there are. We can guess how much, or we can estimate how much mass they should have, and therefore how much force they should be pulling on the things. And there's just a lot more there than we expect. And so the leading theory to explain this is just that there's a bunch of extra particles that we can't see. So a more accurate name for dark matter, we call it dark because we can't see it, but a more accurate name would be something like transparent matter because light has to pass through it. So what we think is the universe is made up of normal particles that we know about, but also just dark matter, an extra particle that we're trying to learn about still.
Is it kind of like the glue that I've heard that before?
Yeah, you could think of it like glue. The problem with the glue analogy is it things need to be touching each other for the glue to work. So this is something where it's just exerting gravity from far away. You know, that would be, yeah, but it's so that gravity holds the galaxy together.
You've been working on this for a few years now, if not longer, and Webb is getting all the attention right now. But in 2020, you and your team went to Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, and you were able to detect the smallest known dark matter clumps using Hubble Telescope. In what ways do you think Hubble laid the foundation for Webb's current and future successes?
So what we use is something called gravitational lensing. So you can imagine a light beam traveling through space from a flashlight, or in our case, a supermassive black hole. And we look for these dark matter clumps, these structures, to be bending the light. This is an effect of gravity. It also bends the path of this light beam. So what Hubble let us do is look at light beams coming from a relatively large background source and look for little perturbations or little distortions caused by these small clumps. And with this, we were able to really prove that our method works. And we really did obtain one of the most sensitive measurements at that time of what kind of things dark matter could be. And what James Webb will let us do is it's effectively as if we could look at, because we can look in this infrared, our big light beam, our big fat light beam turns into more of a laser pointer because the infrared light source that we're going to look at is much smaller. And so we can detect even smaller clumps and get an even better probe of what dark matter is. But yeah, we never would have been able to do this if we hadn't first shown with Hubble that the whole thing is possible.
Is there consensus in your field that dark matter exists?
I would say it's sort of a 95.5%. So there are definitely respected active researchers who pursue other theories. And that's really good because until we really see these invisible clumps of matter, I think we can't really prove that it's not maybe some other thing.
Yeah. Guillermo, when we're talking about Hubble telescope, it's over three decades old, but it's still very much hard at work capturing images of the cosmos. How will Hubble continue to contribute to our exploration and understanding of space along with Webb?
Yeah, so I would say the main difference, as I was saying, is that Hubble observes in the optical and also the ultraviolet. So it's the other side of the spectrum. And we very much need all those observations as well. So the most significant observations that we can do to get scientific results require getting data across the whole electromagnetic spectrum. So you want to have your ultraviolet optical together with the near-infrared and mid-infrared that Webb is going to obtain. And yeah, Hubble is aging, so from time to time we get a scare and the space telescope says, oh, we have to put it on safe mode and fix something. So we're all like suffering a little bit and hoping that, Hubble is going to last for some more years, because I can tell you that the interest from the community is not going down. Every year there's a call for proposals and the same amount or even more people continue to submit their proposals to Hubble, because the science that you can do, I mean, as Anna was saying, still you can try new things, see whether it pans out, and then you're going to be able to do the same with Webb. So there's a unlimited amount of things that you can still try and very useful data that you can continue to collect and combine together, observing maybe the same field with both telescopes.
Yeah, I mean, this research opportunity is not just a big deal for the both of you, but also your colleagues on campus and in the field. I mean, what does it mean for graduate or undergraduate students if you work with them to be a part of something this big? It's something that is, it's an international effort, Guillermo.
Yeah, that's right. So I was fortunate. I was teaching my astronomy course last semester, so during the spring. So we got to we didn't watch the launch together because it was in the middle of the night here in California. But during the semester, I was giving them updates. We were talking about the telescope. We were using it for some examples during the class. So they were all very excited. Some of them are working with me during the summer a little bit. So they're really excited to look at the images and get to see what they can do with the data, the raw data that we're going to download and process and still doing measurements. So it's really exciting for them. And I think it's kind of like inspiring looking forward if some of them are trying to apply for grad school. And this kind of thing, I think, like, gives you an extra momentum, like that these things are happening, that this is a moment where we are having transformative science and maybe there is a chance of doing new things and they can be the ones leading some of these programs in the future.
Yeah, Anna, you talked about when you were a graduate student, you didn't know if this was actually going to become a reality. And now you are with graduate students and undergraduate students who are actually seeing this as a reality. How does that make you feel?
It's just, I'm so glad that to see kind of the next generation getting to experience this and incorporate this. And yeah, it's just sort of average college students at Merced are in my group, UC Merced are in my group. They're going to be able to see this data with us as it comes out and help us analyze it. And so it's just, I mean, it absolutely is going to form an integral part of their thesis, their PhD theses, and their research.
Yeah, to have a little bit of fun, you know, obviously, since the photos came out, now there's like memes on social media. Have you been seeing any memes? We were sharing some before the show, like there's a photo of the galaxy and then a granite kitchen counter. And it's like, nice try, NASA. Or there was another one where, you know, you have this really crisp picture of galaxies billions of years away. However, you have blurry images like on security cameras and like our iPhones. Have you been taking in any of that, Anna?
I love that. I saw one. There's this a gravitationally lensed galaxy that's really distorted, and somebody put the scream on it from the painting, The Scream. I thought that was pretty funny.
How about you, Guillermo? I see you laughing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, I was scrolling through. Some of them are a little bit more geeky and oriented toward astrophysicists. But it's like, well, every astronomer is now here looking at these images rather than looking at the old ones from Hubble. And now we're all overexcited. And I can get that. Now I'm looking at some of the GIFs that the astronomers are pointing, like the ones with animated GIFs, like people very excited, or people like pulling their ears because they're waiting for the data to download. So yeah, everyone is really excited about all of this. And I think it's important that it gets to the broader community at large, that everyone gets to know what WETB is doing, because in the end, this is important for us looking forward for the new missions and trying to get the funding, get the proposals moving forward. So it's important that everyone in the world knows about this and how important it is, especially for the politicians to green light all of these projects. So I think it's important to get these images to everyone, and to talk about them as much as possible to for people to know how important they are for the understanding of the universe.
Yeah, and also maybe even reshaping our own perspective of the lives that we get caught up in on a daily basis. Finally, the Webb team obviously says the telescope will shed more light on planets both inside and outside of our solar system, but also suggests it may even find the building blocks of life. So finally, I want to ask both of you, do you think there's life out there in the great universe, and do you think Webb will be the key to solving this great mystery? Guillermo?
So, I mean, I like to think that there is, not just like the one that we have here, but definitely building blocks, maybe something that it's different, but it's still alive in some way. And I'm not sure. I'm always starting to be a little skeptical about whether the telescope is going to be able to detect something, but it's definitely going to push us forward and closer to something that might be an indication of life. And definitely, I know whether we're going to have the smartest people in the world looking for those signatures in exoplanets. And everything that we can learn about those planets is going to be amazing, whether it's the meteorology, the clouds, the composition of their atmosphere, because that maybe opens the door to new questions that will finally let us detect something, some hints that there's something alive over there. But I know, fingers, I want to be surprised. I want to think that there's something alive out there. Not sure if we're going to find it, but I hope we do in our lifetime.
Stay open and stay curious. What do you think, Anna?
I definitely believe there's life out there somewhere. I don't know how far away it is. And I think Guillermo put it really well. Like I think we have a lot of questions about how planets form and what they're made of in other solar systems. And this is gonna at least, if nothing else, tell us a lot about answering those questions and help us build a better picture.
I want to thank both of you for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. It
Thank you.
was such a pleasure.
And that
It was
is
fantastic. Thank you.
Guillermo Barro is an astrophysicist at the University of the Pacific, along with physicist Anna Nuremberg from UC Merced, sharing with us how they plan to use NASA's groundbreaking James Webb Space Telescope to unravel mysteries of the universe and reimagine what's possible. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.